It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to the 10 o'clock hour of Money Matters. Money Matters. We are back. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to go back to and just to reset the table here as you, if you're just tuning in the 10 o'clock hour, with the theme today here, Kudlow on tariffs. The director for the National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, who we've known for many, many years, more recently appointed this year. By the way, just off a heart attack, yet he's back speaking at conferences. And had a really, what I would say, a remarkable and important interview that he gave this week with one Jim Cramer from CNBC and really laid out why we're doing what we're doing with China. As an investor, it is the number one, this heavy, wet blanket that's over markets. Market's not going anywhere, even though earnings are phenomenally strong. The economy is arguably also phenomenally strong, or at least give it a honest, let's call it an A-. Pretty darn good or better than good right now. Yet markets are kind of just stuck in limbo. And a lot of that has to do with trade. And Kudlow was out this week talking about why we're doing what we're doing with China. That gives us, a lot of perspective of why we're kind of going to the mat when it comes to this trade skirmish with China. I'm going to get more back into that. Is there hope that we can get some change happening? So if you're just tuning in, the topic here really... The strategy behind trade, why we're doing what we're doing, straight from the director of the National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, and your calls and questions, of course. Again, 404-872-0750, the number in the studio, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to go back to this important call from David, who joins us from Marietta. David, you have kind of a unique problem where, again, you are in your early 60s, your wife's a little bit older, in her mid-60s. You guys have saved a ton of money, but it's almost all pre-tax money. So it's mostly from what were 401ks. It's probably all IRA money. You're worried about your RMDs when you get to 70. Is that kind of the prevailing worry here?
Yeah, just as you were starting to allude to, we're debating, do we start converting massive amounts of monies to Roth now and be paying 22, 24% tax? Or do we hold off and just wait till we're 70 and then, you know, be maybe in the 30% bracket? Obviously, tax brackets are lower now than they may be in the future. Who knows? It makes a difference on Medicare when you take big amounts out, then all of a sudden you're paying, which my wife is on Medicare right now, I'm not. Things like that. So we're trying to balance, state taxes. Some of it's free up to a certain point. Again, we'll be exceeding some of that if we take a lot out. So we're trying to balance all that, and it's tough to figure out, for the average layman, is it worth taking, be converting a couple hundred thousand a year until we turn 70 to try to lower that IRA amount, or should we just let it ride and pay it when we have to pay it?
Okay, so again, for those listening, David, let me just kind of lay out this problem one more time, is that very often, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're saving money in a pre-tax way, because it's the easiest money to save, right? You put it on auto save, IRA, 401k, and next thing you know, you wake up and you're 60 and you have a ton of money that's all pre-tax. You got out of paying taxes, and that's good. The challenge that as you get into using the money is that every time you pull money from an IRA, it adds to your overall adjusted gross income. So it adds to your, and the more you take out, the higher your tax bracket goes, and you get into a little bit of a problem, particularly when you get to be 70 and a half and the government says, hey, you have to take money now, required minimum distributions. And now you can be a scenario, to your point, David, that you've got to take a bunch of money out and you start to have this really high adjusted gross income. The scenario I see, again, play out very often, and this is for folks that still have $1 million or $2 million or $3 million in retirement, you can keep your tax bracket really low if you don't have a lot of expenses. Let's say your mortgage is paid off, the cars are paid off, you don't have any big expenses, so you're just kind of living on the discretionary money that you need, and you only pull out what you need. So if you only pull out 20 grand from your IRA at age 65, let's say, then What else are you taxed? What else are you taxed on? Well, probably maybe Social Security if you're taking it, maybe a pension. And in your case, by the way, David, you have a pension from the Navy. So all of these things get to a point where, if you get to a point when you're in retirement and now you've got a pension, like you're saying, from the Navy, your future income is going to be pretty high. Because here's how I would break down this question: to convert or not. When you get into retirement, it's great to have a bunch of money saved, but if it's all pre-tax, you very, very often I see families that did a great job saving, they're missing this sacred, more, let's say the most sacred pool of money is after-tax money, or even better, Roth money, because it's, you can get to it without increasing your adjusted gross income. So you want to have a balance, and if you're imbalanced like you guys are today, plenty of money, but it's all kind of on, it's all in the bucket that you will be taxed on if you start to use it. So here's what you want to think about. The number one key to this problem is to figure out tax today in order to do some conversion. So we're thinking, hey, wait a minute, maybe I take some of this IRA money, I put it into a Roth, and that way it's this gets into this sacred bucket of money that I can get to without being taxed. The catch is that you got to pay taxes to get it into that bucket. But you got to think about it as taxes today versus taxes in the future. And for you guys, David, not only do you have a bunch of money in pre-tax savings, but you've got a pension, a pretty big pension from the Navy, and Social Security for you and your wife. So you're going to be in a higher tax bracket in the future than you are probably today. And we know that almost for a fact, because it's 70 and a half. You're going to have a whole bunch of required minimum distribution. You're going to have to take out 4% approximately of the IRA money, right? So in in your case, is if your tax bracket is the same as it is today and in the future, you can make the case to do a conversion. If your taxes are the lower in the future, I say no way, no way, don't do it. Don't do the conversion. But in your case, you're actually higher, right? So you called up and originally said, hey, I think it's a fairly good problem to be facing here. So your taxes in the future are higher, which leans towards saying, yeah, I think it might make sense to do some of these conversions. Number two, when you do these conversions, you've got to look at the new tax bracket. So you've got a big jump. So to jump from the 22 bracket where you're going to almost always be, if you're filing jointly, 77,000 to about 165 in income, to jump to the 24 bracket, it's only a 2 percentage point jump. So you're at 165 to 315. So you've got a lot of room in that only slightly higher bracket. And I think that's where your window is. So I would try to, if you're going to do some of these conversions, you probably want to, and you've got to run this with your CPA. You really need to run a tax projection on this. And so you do your 1040 tax return, and then you say, okay, what if I converted 150,000? What will that do? And as long as it doesn't take your overall effective rate a whole lot higher, then I think the answer in what I would say is that I'd lean towards saying, yes, you do want to do some of these conversions. So think about how much you could convert here. Well, to 165 in income, 165,000, all is the start of the 24 bracket, all the way up to 315, and you're still in the 24 bracket. Above that, there's a really big jump. Then you jump 8 percentage points in your tax rate. So the next bracket up is 32%. So you really, in my opinion here, and again, just doing this without doing a whole tax projection that your CPA will have to do for you, you probably want to keep your adjusted gross income with the conversion, because it all counts as income. You convert 150 grand, that's like having another 150,000 in income. If you keep it under the 32 bracket, I think that's where you want to stay. The next point here is that from an age perspective, you're still pretty darn young. I mean, you're 61. Hopefully you live another, God willing, 40 years. Let's get you to 101, meaning that you've got a long time to make up for the taxes that you're paying. So you've got, your conversion has a lot of runway to outpace what the taxes cost you. So that's number three. The last piece here is that I think about your wife, because even though she's a couple years older, she still may live longer than you, right? So, and we've got to think about that the age difference between us and our spouse, and knowing that your wife may live longer, let's say, statistically, the conversion, I think, will help her in the longer run. And so that's another thought to this. We've gone over a couple different iterations of this call over the years, and more times than not, David, I say don't do the conversion. In your case, I'm leaning to say, yes, you probably do want to do some converting. And remember, you don't need to do the whole amount. You don't need to take the whole $1.5 million in retirement and convert it. That's going to be get too expensive. But to get 150, or maybe you do it 2 years in a row and you get $300,000 in non-taxable, in either Roth money or just after-tax money, I think that really could make a lot of sense for you and your wife. So I think the answer is probably yes, David, but you're going to have to run the actual numbers with your CPA. Are you with me on that?
Yeah, that's kind of the direction I was leaning. I just like to kind of hear another opinion on that, because I say you throw in state taxes in there and where they start taxing. You also got to remember Medicare. You know, if you're only making a little bit, they charge $1,000 a year. If you're making a lot, like we do with these big conversions, they're going to charge you $5,000 a year.
Well, right,
so, but things like that come into play too.
Yeah. So if you wait until you're 65, that's another thing. That yes, your wife's already 65. You've got some years here before you even worry about Medicare. So you're only 61. So you've got some runway to be able to do this without impacting that, and that's another right. bit of savings. So yes, I would say that you're getting. I'm just the third party objective. Give you another opinion on this. I'd say it sounds to me like in your particular situation, the conversion strategy or direction may very well work. David, thanks for your call, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
thanks for
the time.
Listening to the show. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to run to news, weather, traffic. It's what we do here at WSB Radio. A reminder too that coming up this week, on Thursday and Friday of this week, the one of our favorite times of the year at WSB, the WSB Carathon, starting on Thursday and all of Thursday, all of Friday, benefiting the Aflac Cancer Center at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And listeners can see more and donate at WSBradio.com, so we can get this process and this the carathon started early. Even though it's Sunday, we got a couple days. Let's get that going. You can find out more and make donations at WSBradio.com. More Money Matters right here on WSB Radio. Straight ahead. So much happening. You got bad numbers from Netflix. They missed by over 1 million new subscribers, and that's what the market cares about with that stock. Down 14% at one point on the week. Yet we had phenomenal earnings from Microsoft and Honeywell and IBM and Johnson & Johnson. Upcoming this week, we're going to get earnings from Facebook and Coca-Cola, General Motors, Boeing, Northrop Grumman. So tons of earnings. We're in the heart of earnings season starting this week. This past week, markets effectively went nowhere, though. The NASDAQ was actually down slightly on the week. S&P 500... call it almost perfectly flat on the week. The Dow up 0.1%. So not a whole lot of movement. Tons of economic activity. Tons of earnings numbers rolling in. And so far, earnings season has been extraordinarily solid. So we've seen we've seen 75 companies, and a lot of the big names of the S&P 500 have reported. 71 of the 75 have topped analyst forecasts. So companies are doing a good job, and it's not just the tax breaks. Remember, companies have better earnings because they're keeping more, because now the effective corporate rate is lower because of the new GOP tax bill that is now in effect for 2018. So of course companies are going to get a lift. They get an automatic raise, if you will, in net after tax money they get to keep. It's good news, but it's not just the tax cuts that's helping. Revenue growth is strong. We're seeing sales and revenue higher by double digits as well. So we've got not just the tailwind of taxes, but companies are plowing new ground and moving forward. It's not just a bottom line story. It's a top line story, which we like. When we return, we're going to go back into why we're doing what we're doing with China and all this angst back and forth. Yes, it's the wet blanket on the market, but where we're headed, is there hope that we come to a resolution on this tariff dispute with China and the rest of the world when Money Matters returns right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. The Trillion Dollar Club. We've got a couple of companies that are just knocking on the door when it comes to $1 trillion. I'd say really the four that you got to look at are Microsoft, Alphabet, which is Google, of course, Amazon, and Apple. Those are the four that are knocking on the door. It's funny. One of my kids are so into big round numbers, and for some reason, Luke, who's the one, he's my, I guess he's going into second grade, maybe third grade. He's eight. I've got four boys. So I've got four boys in four schools starting this fall, just all over the place. But Luke going into third grade asked about the size of Kroger. Hey, Dad, what's the size of Kroger? And you can just say, hey Siri, what's the market cap of Kroger? And it'll say, well, and then we give a guessing game, 30 billion, 40 billion. The answer is somewhere around 25 billion, if I can remember. So think about the context here. You've got Kroger, which is one of the largest retailers grocery stores in the world, right? Right up there with Walmart. And we're talking about a company in the 20 to 30 billion range. Massive, well-known name. Then you talk about these companies like Microsoft that are $800 billion. Alphabet is $827 billion. Amazon this week closed at $880 billion. And Apple at $941. So historically, you've seen some big jumps when they report earnings. So Amazon jumped 13% going back to October after its third quarter results and had a big jump. That's when if we see one of these jumps in companies that are about to report, you could see these companies hit that $1 trillion mark pretty quickly here with a couple of really strong days in market. So just think of the size differential. Here, you're talking about a $1 trillion company versus arguably one of the largest retailers on the planet at 20 trillion or 20 billion. There's a massive, massive size difference between these big technology names. And not coincidentally, all the top five of in this group, they're all tech. So it's Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, Facebook are the top five. Facebook coming in a little over 600 billion with a B. If you look at market capitalization. So good morning, welcome to Money Matters. That was just a quick note. Really what we're talking about here, what's important, has to do with tariffs. And I do want to go to the phones here. The number, by the way, the phone line's open as we are in the last half hour of Money Matters here. So give us a call here in the studio, whether it has to do with a pension versus a lump sum question. Do I take the pension amount monthly or do I take the big lump sum and roll it into an IRA? What's a better deal for me and my family? We're here just to give you an objective third party, at least opinion. Maybe we're just a third party opinion. You're at a fork in the road. Which direction do you go? When it has to do with an investment, maybe you're disappointed in an investment. You're just thinking, do I change? Is it just because the market's been bad? Or is it because you've got a bad fund or a bad ETF or a bad stock or a bad annuity? Which one is it? And the answer, we don't know. It could be a variety of reasons why you're underperforming or you're frustrated with markets. Maybe it has a question to do with mortgage or real estate or rental property or education for kids or grandkids. We're here to give you at least some direction here. So give us a call here in the studio, the number 404-872-0750. With me, Miguel Ortegal, certified financial planner, here to take your calls and questions and to pass these through. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we will go to the phones here, wherever Miguel tells us to go in just a minute. But I want to wrap up with this I think the real worry of the day, and that has to do with tariffs and why we're doing what we're doing. What is this? It's called a trade war in the press. Those are the headlines that you're going to see. It's not a trade war. It's a skirmish. It's a negotiation. If you didn't hear the first hour, I'll give you a 15-second recap. Wonderful interview this week. Very important interview with the director of the National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, who laid out what the problem is. Why are we going to the mat, if you will, with China? This is a Republican economist that has openly said tariffs are no good. Not a big fan of tariffs. He said, "You know that way. No, I don't like blanket tariffs. We're doing this for other reasons. We're trying to get back on a level playing field. One, the World Trade Organization is broken." And the biggest culprit in that, the WTO, is China. They're saying they're a third world country and they're developing economy, so they need the help. That's not true. They're a $12 trillion economy nominally. If you look at GDP with purchasing price parity, which is another probably better way to measure the size or the economic power of a country, they're number one on the globe. Yeah, we're close to a $20 trillion economy, but with purchasing power parity, if you look at GDP side by side, China actually wins. So despite their size, they're still using their third world status as an excuse to have high tariffs, which is effectively, it's just we think as a nation, and I think most Americans would agree with this, it's unfair. And then on top of that, they have this forced technology transfer. The forced transfer of technology, if you want to do business in China, if you want to open up a shop in the province of a Chinese province, you've got to do it on a joint venture basis. In that case, you only get to own 49%. They own 51. The Chinese government owns 51%. So we want to do business over there. They take ownership. Here's an example of that. The movie industry the Chinese love American movies. They absolutely love Hollywood. So we go over there as the film industry, Hollywood filmmakers, they do billions of dollars in revenue in China. Hollywood, what does Hollywood get out of that? They get to take home 25% of the revenue that they generate in China. The other 75% stays there. We can't let them do that forever. It just doesn't work. The average, and we had a couple calls that are trying to verify this. Wes, is this true? U.S. is the lowest tariff country in the world. We're wide open. Our average tariff is 2.5%. China averages 14%. 14 versus 2. We need to, the solution is to lower barriers to do business in China, period. They've got to lower the barriers to do business. If they open up, we're gonna have a flood of economic activity here in the United States. Now, can this happen? Is there hope? Kudlow will tell you that he's met extensively with Li Yuhe, the key economic advisor to President Xi Jinping, and had direct talks with this group. And he believes, so Kudlow says, look, they're sincere in their desire to change. They actually supposedly, they want a compromise. Xi at the moment, another story. You know, Xi Jinping, he may be the one force that's still saying, no, we're not ready to really level the playing field. And that's, I think, where the rub is. And that's why President Trump is so dissatisfied with China on these talks. And that's why we're going to continue to see Trump put pressure on China to level the playing field. He's got to put pressure on them in order to do so. You and I both know, we know Trump at this point. He's not going to, we know that Trump will not stop. He's not going to stop until he gets some sort of win, some semblance of a win here. Yes, we've got to be careful we take this skirmish too far. We've got to be careful of this because we've got a lot of companies already in China doing business and we don't want China to put a further squeeze on them. I just gave you the movie example. I mean, Hollywood gets to keep all the business they do in China, all the movies that the Chinese love to watch, U.S. movies, Hollywood, we only get to keep 25% of the revenue. That doesn't make sense. And we can't let China steal our technology, which according to Kudlow, they continue to do left and right. Technology, our tech here in the United States, oh, by the way, I just talked about the five biggest companies in the United States. What are they all? They're all tech. Tech is what's so different about our economy. Our innovation here is what separates us from the rest of the world, our economic power. our technology our tech is what makes us the Michael Jordan of the world economy. Our innovation is the key to staying ahead of the world economy, as we have been since the 1800s. That's what's kept us ahead. Unfortunately, China just hasn't conceded to all this when it comes to our request to curb the theft of IP, intellectual property. It's a forced divestiture of our technology to them. Now, this is also interesting. Everybody knows that China's wrong. Even China knows. The world agrees with us. China agrees. Europe agrees. And according to direct sources from Kudlow, perhaps in the Chinese government, they know that they're wrong in doing this. And they know that the rest of the world knows that they're wrong in doing this. So something's got to change. And guess what? Whether we like it or not, our White House, and that's President Trump, and that's Larry Kudlow, and that's Steve Mnuchin, who are they're the top of the economic food chain here in the United States, they are going to do something about it. And that's what they're doing right now. They're going to at least try to do something about it. And that's what this trade negotiation is. It's not a trade war. It's trade negotiation. And it's the same negotiation that you would do or I would do if we're getting if your family was getting ripped off or taken advantage of. Let's say you take over. You're now running the neighborhood association, your entire neighborhood. And for years, the last three heads of the neighborhood association allowing the landscape company to jack up prices on you and the whole association. And it's the biggest expense for the entire neighborhood. Your landscape bill is $10,000 a month for the neighborhood. And the neighborhood has to, we've got to use this company. We want to use this company, but that's the catch. Like we got to trade with China, but you know that it should only cost $2,000 or $3,000 a month for the neighborhood. And it's a big neighborhood. That's the first thing you're going to do on the job. You're going to call them up and say, look, we got to get back on a more level playing ground. You're going to demand that you get back on a level playing ground. And you're going to demand that the terms go in a much better direction. That's what's happening here. With this interplay between the United States and China, we need to get on a more level playing ground. China isn't a third world economy. That's not the crutch that they should be leaning on anymore. They don't need special assistance. Their economy will be larger than ours, at least in size, before we know it. And technically, it already is if you look at GDP and PPP, which is purchasing power parity. So the playing field needs to be leveled. And I think it will, or at least I think it will be more level when this negotiation is all said and done. They will benefit when it's more level, because we're going to do more business with China. And given if you give us and them both more economic choice and more level playing field, that's a boon to both sides of the equation. That's how trade. That's how the economy should work and will work at some point. It's just still not doing that yet. And I think you're going to see that change to the better. Still may take a long time, but it will change to the better. We've got to run to news, weather, traffic. This is WSB Radio. You're listening to Money Matters. You want to find me and the Money Matters team, this is what we do every day of the week. Call us or find us throughout the week. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a red envelope contact button, upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me, straight to Miguel, straight to Ryan Neely, straight to our team. We're happy to help throughout the rest of the week. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB, straight ahead.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
And we are back. Good morning. The viral chart of the week had to do with an interesting pie chart that basically had on the right side five big companies, because that's about half of the S&P market cap, $4 trillion between Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, Facebook. And then the market cap of the bottom 282 companies that has the same market cap of a little over $4 trillion. And that's 282 companies. So tiny, tiny slivers of a pie chart on, let's call it, the left side of the chart. And the worry here, of course, is that is the market really being driven, the entire market, just by these four companies? But this that's the fear that market participants are looking at. So if you take, though, if you do a reverse cap weighted index, so call it the reverse weighted S&P 500, so that the top five companies have the bottom weighting, so they're company number 500 instead of one and 499 instead of two, the reverse weighted S&P 500 is doing just the same. It almost tracks the S&P 500 normally the exact same way. So right now, my answer to is this a worry? Not really. Over the course of history, markets are very often have this similar large cap dominance. And if you look at the two charts, the regular S&P and then the inverse or the reverse S&P that almost track each other, at least for now, I don't see this as a problem. Great news story to write about. Not something for investors, at least, to worry about just yet. This week, we have a ton of earnings coming up. Just all week long, I'll be giving updates to Scott Slade in the Atlanta Morning News. And then, of course, the Carathon right here, WSB Thursday and Friday. You can go to WSB Radio for a preview of that coming up. Thanks so much for listening or tuning in. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com throughout the week. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.